Welcome back to Yang Daily. I'll be your host, Alex Cheney, bringing you all the Yang news you need to live your life right. I know I'm late, but it's going to be a long one today. Lots of big news in here, too. Let's get right to it. All right, so obviously the big news is the primaries going on yesterday and sort of still going on today, since it will take a while to count all the mail-in ballots. So far, out of the three Humanity Forward-endorsed state-level candidates, all three look likely to win their seats by double digits. On the more local level, it's a little less rosy. Lutigayat looks to be coming in around 1%. Khan is around 5%. AOC will retake her seat by a landslide. Herzog is around 10%, with Nadler looking to coast to victory on over 60%. Grace Meng, sponsor of the cash relief bill, however, is coming in strong at over 60%. The most important, of course, is Kentucky, where the results are looking very much like the polls we discussed, with Mike around 6% and, unfortunately, Booker trailing McGrath by around 10%. I think I've said enough on that in previous episodes. But we do know the outcome of one race for certain, and that's Blair Walsingham's, because her only remaining candidate dropped out of the race. Blair is officially the nominee. Woo! Get a hold of yourself. She's not in office yet. She is in a very red state that will be almost impossible to turn, thanks to partisan politics, no matter how good a candidate she is. But it'll be a worthwhile fight regardless, and an opportunity to educate people on what good policy and politicking looks like. Unfortunately, New York appears to be doubling down on voter suppression following their attempt to cancel the primary altogether. Multiple sources reported that polling places were giving out only the presidential ballots and not the local ballots. Ironic, I know. In some cases, this was passed off as simple oversight and the ballot was provided when requested. In other cases, the polling staff actively resisted and attempted to mislead those requesting a ballot, including the manager, according to Paperboy Prince. In either case, this is straight-up voter suppression again. Voting is supposed to be a constitutional right of citizenship. Why do people not go to prison for suppression tactics? Even if they claim it's incompetence, that's criminal incompetence. I mean, saying you don't know most of the elections are even going on? Come on. And moreover, why do we just accept this? When people are deprived of their right to vote, that needs to be rectified immediately. Delaying the election results and reopening polling stations and extending mail-in deadlines as necessary until the problem is solved. Voting in a democracy is the right that we claim most defines us as a country, and yet, we don't even guarantee it. We don't even make sure everyone has access to voting to begin with, and then we just accept it when those in power further cheat us out of access. The United States makes a mockery of voting. Why even have laws and a justice system if they won't even protect our basic constitutional rights? If you want to do something about this, Represent Us is the place to go. They are conducting a nationwide campaign to pass the most important democracy reform laws state by state, as history shows that's the only way to get this done. And those reforms include democracy dollars and ranked choice voting. Why not do it on the national scale? Because Congress doesn't want it, and also because no amount of public support will make them. In fact, public support doesn't appear to move the needle on any issue in Congress. Represent Us has a short video on this, which is pretty depressing, but they are also organizing the solution. Check it out below. It's the key to everything else that we want to do. Fair Vote also wrote an article including links to this and a bunch of other stuff, as well as why it's near impossible for a third party to win. They also highlight another big issue, that of single candidates representing areas. It results in gerrymandering districts, so they are guaranteed to vote either blue or red, killing competition and meaning that candidates for the underdog party never win and candidates for the dominant party have no reason to court the approval of the other party. What they end up doing is pandering to their own party, and if there is any competition within the party, those candidates compete to see who can be more progressive or conservative, depending on the party in question, to win that primary. That means it breeds radicals who are not representative of the general populace and who are terrible at working with the other side, hence partisan gridlock. In fact, districts are so rigged that Fair Vote regularly predicts 87% of elections 2 years ahead of time with 99.9% accuracy. If knowing that the vast majority of our representatives don't represent us and that they completely disregard our collective wishes in office doesn't provoke action, I don't know what will. Join up with Represent Us and Fair Vote, and let's build a real democracy. But there's other big news. In an interview with Scripps, Trump was asked directly if there would be another stimulus check for the people, and he answered unequivocally, yes. He didn't say if it would be the same amount, just that it would be very generous, and that a bipartisan bill is being drawn up to get it done. However, we should expect more fighting before it goes through, as Republicans have set themselves a goal of limiting further stimulus to $1 trillion, while Democrats rightly recognize that will not be enough. Arizona's Republican Senator Martha McSally recently demonstrated just how disconnected Congress is from ordinary people and how seriously they're taking the situation when she drafted a proposal for a $4,000 tax credit for vacation spending. It reads like a mockery of UBI, offering $4,000 per person and $500 per child, but not as cash, only as a tax credit, and not to spend on what you need, only on vacations. In other words, if you're well off enough to have surplus money for vacationing, go for it and we'll cut the expenses off your taxes. If you're one of the vast majority who can't even afford to live at home right now, screw off, no one here cares about you. Cutting taxes specifically for those who don't need help, and not for those who do, and mandating it's only for frivolous use. I can't imagine how she could flip a bigger bird to the American people. Very typical. This is why we need democracy reform, people. Get active in your local elections and get democracy dollars and voting reform on the ballot. And the need is evident. Politico just released an article detailing how the economic stimulus in New York resembles that in other states. Businesses are reopening, but there are no customers. Even with people allowed out, they choose to stay in due to both money and COVID concerns. Just one more example that lifting lockdowns is not the magical switch so many wish it to be, and that only a vaccine and dependable economic support for consumers will lift this curse. If you have a small business, the deadline for the PPP loans is June 30th. Humanity Forward has laid out all the information you need at the link below. The People's Policy Project just released a study on killings by police, breaking it down by economic and racial status of the victims. I'm sure it won't surprise you to hear that the likelihood of being killed by police closely correlates with your level of income, with the poorest being, on average, 3.5 times more likely to be killed than the rich. It also shows that black communities are far more at risk than white. But this should also not be surprising, because the article also shows how black communities are far more skewed toward poverty than whites. Higher rates of poverty, higher rates of interaction with police, and profiling from police. More killings. When we say that racial and economic justice are interlinked, this is why. Racism plays a role for sure, but at this point, it's the poverty that racism created in the black community, which is at least as much to blame for biased policing. One very clear step to solving racism is solving poverty. The World Bank put out an article explaining why consumption taxes are actually progressive, contrary to all the supposed progressives who want to tell you otherwise. Of course, exempting staple goods contributes, but it's mostly because of the prevalence of the informal sector of the economy, or transactions that don't get taxed, and how those are primarily used by low-income brackets. Not very exciting reading material, but worth slipping in your bookmarks as evidence when you need to defend the VAT. Harvard-Harris released a series of sentiment polls, polled from almost 2,000 Americans last week and matching with the same questions in the past. They generally show that the number of people who think the country is on the wrong track is at 64% and growing rapidly. Economic confidence is at 30% and dropping. 61% think the economy is weak. 31% say that their own economic situation is still getting worse. Only 31% expect the economy to improve in the next 6 months. Strangely, the approval for both BLM and police is about the same at 55 and 60%, with 64% believing that most police operate fairly and according to the rules, and 47% saying that the police were too soft on rioting and looting. But 94% are familiar with George Floyd, 74% say there have been protests in their area, 67% think the protests have been appropriate, and 93% believe some form of police reform is needed, with half wanting minor and half wanting major reform. Support for banning chokeholds, enforcing body cameras, and creating a national registry for police infractions are all in the 80%. Eliminating mandatory minimums and qualified immunity is at 62%, but more want to increase the number of police than decrease it, and 58% still support police getting surplus military gear. 58% see racism as systematic and pervasive. 56% say they will stay home even if the lockdowns are lifted in their area. 64% are concerned with lifting restrictions too soon, with only 20% saying their governor has been too restrictive. 30% believe their company will go out of business as a result of the crisis. Then we have the stimulus legislation. 74% say that there should be another stimulus bill, and 64% want it passed immediately. Moreover, 48% of Americans want the main focus of the bill to be direct cash payments to the people, with no other issue topping 15%, and 70% want payments as much as $6,000 per family. The will of the people is clear, but as we discussed before, that doesn't mean Congress will listen. Democratic reform, get on it. Tim Ryan started a Twitter thread asking what people would do with $2,000 a month. Feel free to contribute. Mine was to dedicate myself full-time to bolstering democracy, growing and reforming the economy, and getting the government working for the well-being of the people. Income Movement has set up a bunch of new summer volunteering opportunities to help the cause with everything from web design to local event organizing. Follow the link below to see how you can help. Nerds for Yang started a Twitter thread about creating a Kickstarter for Yang Gang who want to run for Congress so they can feel out support for a run to give them the confidence to jump in and hit the ground running. He's currently working to assemble a team and draft a prototype. Sounds like a good idea to me. Yang hopped on the radio with KQED to talk more about the DDP. Catch it below if you're itching for more. Heidi Briones and John Munitz are starting a joint podcast called Full Bloom, airing Tuesdays and Thursdays, beginning tomorrow, and they're kicking it off with big guests, Marianne Williamson, followed by Andrew Yang. Link below. Steve Chacha has committed to donating up to $1,000 to Erica Rhodes' campaign if he gets that many retweets. I did my part. Get in there and finish the job, gang. I know what you're thinking. 2020 is a dumpster fire year. We've had a recession, dirty politics, police brutality, riots in the streets, a plague, storms. How could it get any worse? Well, how about a plague of locusts ravaging the Middle East and Africa? Biblical enough for you? It's official. 2020 belongs in the Noah Get the Boat Reddit thread. And seriously, Noah, get the boat, because a flood has to be on its way by now. And that'll do it for today's Yang Daily. Congratulate Blair, sign up with Represent Us, and watch their video, volunteer with Income Movement, check out Heidi and John's podcast tomorrow, help advocate for clear, fundamental policy goals for the protests. If you're going out to protest, wear protection, especially on your eyes, head, and throat. If you get arrested while protesting, remember not to say anything without a lawyer. Whatever you choose to do, be wise, be safe, and act with measured purpose toward real solutions. And don't forget to Yang Daily.